produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Luke chapter 6, just for a few minutes. Luke chapter 6, where we made our way down to verse number 31, and the 31 is that golden rule of which Christ gives in this text that has been proliferated for the last 2,000 years as being the golden rule. And let me read that text, and then we'll go back, and then we'll come back to this. We will not tarry too long today with all that we yet have to do. We must observe the Lord's table today. And but Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 31, only verse 31, says these words, the golden rule. It says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, ye also do to them likewise."
Amen.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is that golden rule that is given unto us, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. And we've made it so good to see you all this morning, Brother Mack and his lovely bride. Thank you all. But we've made it up to this point, and we're going to move on from here. Again, Brother Julius, I'm so happy to see you this morning, brother. God bless you. I want to remind us of what this whole passage of scripture is about. And if you'll give me about 15 minutes, I will either stop or continue on. This is the passage of scripture where the Lord is encouraging us how we might be able to absorb the mishandlings of others and how we may be able to forgive not only our friends, but to also be able to forgive our enemies. This is very important. And this is what we want to amplify today for us, that we are to absorb personal insults. We are to absorb, take in personal insults. And the way in which we do this, brothers and sisters, is by cultivating the spirit of humility. Cultivating humility. Humility is the queen of the virtues. Without humility, you will not be able to function and be able to assimilate and to appropriate all of the other gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
All right? The gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the fruit, not fruits, it's one fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit. And it requires humility. This is a major point that we must look at even this morning. Because the scriptures are replete with the instructions that God resists the proud.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
But he gives grace
yes.
to the humble.
Yes. All right.
Thank God.
Amen.
He repels. God repels the proud. God, he contends and fights against the proud. That's why we must have humility. Mm-hmm. The scriptures say, humble thyself under the mighty hand of the Lord.
Yes.
And in due season, he will lift you up. He will do the exalting.
Amen.
But it's required of us in James chapter 4 to recognize that God resists. He contends. He mitigates. He fights against. He repels the proud.
Yes.
But he gives grace to the humble.
Yes.
Look at somebody and say, more grace.
More grace.
That's what we need. We need more grace.
More grace.
And we extend to you. We command over you more grace.
More grace.
And in order to receive more grace, Brother Deacon, we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Proverbs 22 and 4, put it down to make sure I'm preaching what's right. Proverbs 22 and 4 says, by humility and by the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and by the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22 and 4. True humility is being willing to give up everything that comes from myself in order to be obedient to God and to do his will. There are some things that are legitimately yours to do. But humility says that I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to bag back. I'm willing to surrender it so that God can move as he wants to
yes.
in my life.
All right.
And it requires humility to do that. Jesus is our example. You do know that, don't you?
Yes.
And I want you to see something here in the scriptures. Now, our central text is Luke chapter 6. But I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And many of you already know where we are. Philippians chapter 2, speaking of humility. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 5. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in this great book of Philippians. Philippians happens to be, and probably is, and maybe you don't know it, happens to be one of my favorite books in the Bible. Philippians is a wonderful book. And some of the great writings of Paul are found in the book of Philippians. But look what he says in chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. And this is, we're talking still about humility and being able to absorb insults. All right? So here we are. Philippians 2, verse 5. He says, Paul instructs us, let this mind be in you. Which was also in whom? What does it say? In Christ Jesus. What does it say? Who being in the form of God. Now when he says who being in the form of God, he's not talking about Jesus was a facsimile of God or that he was a copy of God. He literally means in this text that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is very God. He is God.
Right.
He is the incarnate God.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
He is God in the flesh.
Yes.
Jesus is the Theos Anthropos. He is the God man.
Yes.
He is God in the flesh. And look what he says here. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what?
Equal
with God. So he is affirming the deity of Christ. He's not an angel. Christ is not a creature. He's not a created being. Christ is eternal God. He's the eternal God in the Godhead, God the Son. And verse 6 says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a what?
Servant.
Of a servant or a slave. The form of a doulos. The form of a servant. That's what it says right here in verse 7. And was made in the likeness of men. The theos anthropos, the God man. The seed of a woman, and we know women don't have seed. Women have what? Eggs. And yet, the Bible says he is the seed of the woman. Because he's not the seed of Adam. He is the seed of the Holy Ghost. And he did not have a natural father. But he had his heavenly father that born him within, through the Holy Ghost, born him within Mary's womb. And he was born. He came through 9 months of gestation and he was born of a woman. Now, verse 8 says, and being found in the fashion as man, he did what?
Humble himself.
Do y'all see that right there? If you're writing your Bible, please underline that. He humbled himself.
Amen.
Now if Jesus can humble himself, certainly you and I can humble ourselves.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Yes.
If Jesus took himself down and he took on the form of a man, even though he was God, certainly we can humble ourselves.
Amen.
I don't think we understand what Jesus relinquished. Jesus relinquished his glorious majesty. Jesus, praise be to his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus relinquished his splendor and his grandeur. He relinquished the refulgent glory that was his to have. His brightness and his sumptuous brilliance. Jesus gave all of that away when he came to earth.
Uh-huh.
He came to earth and he came as a child. And with that in mind, we have to remember what children do. Jesus, God, the one who spoke. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
The one who spoke and everything that is leapt into existence.
Yes.
And he holds up the creation with his own power.
Yeah, all right.
And he becomes a child and an infant. And the Bible says, the Bible intuitively tells us that Jesus, as a child, he urinates on himself. He has bowel movements upon himself. This is the God of glory. The God who stepped out into nothing and then made everything that there was without a stepladder and without a paintbrush. He painted the sky misty blue. He threw out the grass and rolled out upon the meadows and even the lilies tacked it down. And there we have the brilliance of God that he flung in space. The stars. And they sparkle. And the Bible says he knows each one of them by name.
All right. All right. Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir.
Billions upon billions, he knows them all.
Yes.
By
yes,
name.
Sir.
And this same God comes here and urinates on himself.
All right.
All right.
He has bowel movements upon himself.
All right.
He has to be birthed.
Yeah.
He has to be changed.
Yes, sir.
He has to be carried.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The one who scooped out the mountain. The one who poured out the ocean.
Yes, sir.
He has to be picked up and carried.
Yes,
he look at somebody and say he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He allowed himself to be relinquished these prerogatives that were his to have. Yet he humbled himself. The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So Sister Galladay, they said the death of the cross was a death that was a cursed death.
Yes.
All right.
The scripture said, the Old Testament writer said, he that which hangs upon a tree is cursed.
Yes.
Jesus took on the cursing.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He took on the malediction of each one of us who are saved.
Yes, sir.
And became sin for you and me. Yet written to us the greatest benediction we can ever have. That's a blessing. Benediction is just a blessing. That's what the benediction is in the service. It is a pronounced blessing over everyone that's present in the sanctuary. And so when Jesus, he takes on the malediction and then he gives us the benediction. He takes on the cursing of God and then he gives us the blessings of God. What a great exchange. It's inconceivable. It's really inestimable. It's incalculable what Christ has done for you and me. You can't count it. You can't add it up. Everything Christ has done so that you and I can have the right to the tree of life. Look at somebody and tell them, we serve a good God.
Yes,
my God, look at that. Who didn't want to serve a God like that?
Yes,
my God.
Yes,
we serve a good God. That's why I praise him. That's why I give him my best. That's why I shout when I ain't got a dime in my pocket. Hallelujah. I get happy on the inside, Brother Marvin, because God, I think about what he's done for me, and I think about it, and it makes me happy. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I'm a witness here. Make you cry when ain't nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Make you laugh. But ain't nothing funny. Ah, he'll make you run. But ain't nobody behind. Won't he do it? When you begin to think of the goodness of Jesus, and the songwriter said, all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. We ought to have service one Friday night just a thank God I'm saved service. We ain't talking about no diamond ring. We ain't talking about no diamond, black diamond fur coat. We ain't talking about a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or a big house on the hill. We are coming here kicking our heels as high as we can, shouting and screaming and ready to dance just because he saved me. Shake somebody's hand now and tell your neighbor, I've got a reason to praise him because he saved me. I wish somebody would get happy with me. I don't mean for my blind people to get happy with me. I'm saved. Look at somebody be saved and you're really saved. Say, I'm saved. By his power divine. Saved through new life sublime. Life now is sweeter. And my joy is complete. For I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. Slap him out of high five and tell him, thank God I'm saved. Hey. My God today. I'm saved. If you ain't saved, you need to get saved.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't want to live in this life without having a Savior on my side.
Yes.
My God, all that's going on in this world, we need a Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We don't need a governor. We don't need a president. We need a Savior.
Yes.
We don't need a rapper. We don't need a movie star. We need a Savior.
Yes.
We don't need a sports athlete. not, we don't need any of that. We need a Savior. Save us from the sin and shame. Save us from the look in the mind. Save us from all that we've gone through, the degradation and all of life. We need to be saved. Hallelujah. Well, scripture tells us he humbled himself and became, that's what it says here, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a magnanimous and ignominious death. Oh, Jesus. My God. He died upon the cross. We're going to observe that in just a little while. But we got to be reminded, Jesus didn't tell us to do much and when it comes to worship as we gather, but he did tell us, whatever you do this, whatever you do it unto me. Yeah. Observe the Lord's table and remember what I've done for you. Yeah. That's what he told us to do. And that's what we're doing this morning in just a little bit. Being reminded of how he gave his back to the whip.
Yes.
Gave his feet to the rivets.
Yes.
Gave his hands to the nails.
Yes.
Gave his brow to the thorny crown. And he died.
Yes.
The God of glory died.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
He died. He died, but he didn't stay dead.
Yes.
But on the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher and didn't find his body there. The angel had to remind them and tell them, did you not hear what he told you, that he must die, but that he would rise again? You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here.
Uh-huh.
He's alive.
Yeah.
And he's alive forevermore.
Yeah.
Oh, we serve a magnificent God. He died the death of the cross.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, if Jesus can humble himself, how much more should we be able to humble ourselves?
All right.
Now, implicit in this lesson, and I'm finished, I have more, but implicit in this lesson is this, that we, if we're going to absorb insults, if we're going to take railings, if we're going to take lying, we're going to be able to accept personal accusations. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, in order to accept and absorb these railings and revilings, something must happen. And it's kind of implicit in the text, because this is also replete in terms, this is a motif throughout the scriptures that we many times seldom forget. But the scriptures tell us the only way we can do that is we must be humble, yes, but we also, brothers and sisters, last, I'm finished. Look at somebody and say, he finished. Y'all, if y'all didn't say amen, it's over with. You must die.
Yes, ma'am.
You must die. Every day. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any man desire to follow after me, let him first deny himself.
Yes.
That's humility.
That's right. That's
say, not that I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
Okay.
First deny yourself. And then he says, take up your cross. Now that whole milieu of language there, that's a phrase that's again implicit and inherent in that phrase is, she says, deny yourself, take up your cross. Mm-hmm. Now, what reason does a person have to have a cross? across, if we're looking at historically, if a person was getting ready to build their own cross, or they knew somebody was building a cross for them, they were saying what about that person? That you were preparing to die. Jesus is saying, when he uses that phrase, deny yourself, humility, deny yourself, take up your cross, he's saying, prepare to die. Prepare to die. But many Christians don't believe that we are supposed to die. Many Christians don't believe that we are called to give up this life. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 12, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will not produce a harvest.
Right.
It will not be fruitful.
That's right.
And it's required for us to die to our own carnal desires and our own fleshly lusts. I can't hear you. We are to release these kinds of living, that kind of living, so that we can be used by God, and we are called to die. And to do this every day. Die, and what Paul says, I die daily. We need to die. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again here in closing. We are to die daily. And the problem with most people, that when it comes time to die, they've never died before. And when you never practice dying, dying is hard. But if you practice dying every day, when it's your time to die, you're used to dying. You ain't holding on to life. You're not gripping for everything that's worth, because you are, every day the Holy Ghost is letting you just loosen your grip a little bit more. And a little bit more. And you are filled with the Spirit. So when it's time for you to die, you're ready to die. Why? Because I've been dying. I've been dying every day. Brothers and sisters, hear me by the Spirit. If I'm going to absorb insults, I've got to be humble, but I also must die. You cannot insult, Centricia. You can't insult a dead man. You can walk up to the casket and call it everything under the sun. Under the sun, everything but a child of God. Look at him in the casket and he ain't going to say a mocking word. Why? Because he's dead. And when we die, we can absorb certain things. Because I've let this world go. I told my church, a little while ago, that I'm asking the Lord to help me to release my reputation. I got offended, not really offended, but it hit me. Somebody asked me something, if I may share this. Somebody asked me something about my past. And I said, it shocked me that they even knew about it. It's been so long ago, but they even knew about it, that they had a misunderstanding of it. But I shouldn't have been even, I shouldn't even felt nothing. You know, and that's hard to do. And the devil, he got away sometimes. Now, I'm not saying the person wasn't the devil. I'm just saying the devil got away. Everybody say the devil got away. The devil has a way of reminding you about your past. And not letting you die from to your past. He wants to keep you alive and shackled to your past. But Christ is saying, let it go.
Let it go.
It's under the blood. As far as he's concerned, he's put in the field forgetfulness. If you are sincerely repentant and turn from it, it's gone. He'll never bring it up before you again, ever. If you sincerely repented and turned from it.
Amen.
God wants, this is hard to hear, and I want you to understand it in its rightfulness, but hear this shockingly as it may be. God wants you to die.
Yes.
Die to yourself.
Yes.
Die to your lust. Die to your carnal desires.
Yes.
So that you might be used even more greatly.
All right.
By the Holy Spirit.
Yes. All right.
There is a feeling that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives.
Yes.
There is a demand upon us that the Holy Spirit wants to make. But we are unwilling, many instances, to give up that which we hold on to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even our past memories, our past triumphs, our past defeats.
Uh-huh.
But the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things
which are behind.
Look at somebody say, some stuff we got to forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something we got to leave back there.
Yeah.
And press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Keep moving forward. And move forward with the Lord. That's all the way to do. Look at somebody say, move forward with God. Amen. I want to encourage you. Nobody can condemn. Who can condemn the righteous man who's been forgiven by God? Who can make this charge against the elect? Nobody. It's Romans chapter 8. The pinnacle of the New Testament. Paul says, who can make a charge against the elect?
Nobody.
Not even the devil. Nobody can charge the elect because Christ has set you free.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, O God, for your people, for you giving unto us the spirit of humility of which we are wanting to cultivate. We're needing to cultivate. And Lord, we're also needing to die, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow you, letting loose of this world. That same passage you say, oh God, you said, Jesus, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? Lose his soul. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? It'll be better for us to die so that you might give us life than to try to live. And as a result, it gives us death. God help us. By your spirit, by your power, by your might,
amen,
to lift us, to encourage us, that we might live for you, O God.
Yes, sir.
We might be truly humble, and we might truly die while our outward man perishes. The inward man is being renewed day by day.
Amen. Yes.
We ask, oh God, for life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Squeeze your neighbor's hand, please. Squeeze that hand real tight. Father, we're asking for life.
Yes.
We're asking, oh God, that you would give us life. Satan comes only but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Christ, you said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
Just
By Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.